Trace explosive detection in the subways and the police cars New York's finest use to get around the city. Hello and welcome to Inside the NYPD, the official podcast of the New York City Police Department, broadcasting from police headquarters in Lower Manhattan to our listeners around the world. I'm Jesse Peterman. The July 2005 bombings in the London Underground led to the implementation of random bag searches in the New York City subway system. In addition to these hand searches of containers, the police department also conducts random tests for traces of explosives with sensitive equipment you might have seen at the airport. Every day, unannounced, officers from the NYPD Transit Bureau and the Counterterrorism Bureau perform tests for trace amounts of explosives in a process that takes less than 30 seconds for those riders who are randomly selected. Here is the NYPD's Jason Post.
And we are joined now by Chief John Colgan of the NYPD Counterterrorism Bureau. Who selects the stations where the screening takes place?
Selections are made by both the Transit Bureau Operations Unit supervisors with input from the counterterrorism inspector assigned to assist the chief of the Transit Bureau. The selections are also informed by the Intelligence Division's Nexus Unit.
What about the physical searches done by hand? Are they still occurring, and does trace explosive detection conflict with those searches?
Manual screening of bags brought into the system by passengers is still occurring in the system. We expect that it will continue well into the future because it's a very powerful preventive. It doesn't conflict at all with explosive trace detection procedures. Explosive trace detection provides the officer with another tool. But certainly we have a limited amount of technology. It's extremely expensive. We have to train officers to use it, and we do in fact train them well and certify them in its use. But there's no replacement for the intelligent, alert officer with two eyes, two ears, and an active brain with the years of experience that he or she brings to the situation. It's a huge preventive measure, and we're going to continue doing that as long as there's a threat.
There are so many stations in the subway system, officers can't be at every station with a trace detection machine. So can't a bomb maker still make their way onto the subway?
You know, it's true that there are 468 stations in the system, and somebody with an explosive device could make his way into our system. It's an open system. It's a public system. It's highly accessible. Having said that, there's no telling where we're going to be, when we're going to be there, and in what numbers. And for those operatives who would be conducting hostile surveillance of our stations, you can be assured that they're going to see NYPD officers at one time or another conducting screening, either with explosive trace detection or doing manual screening.
Chief Colgan, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
There are police officers floating on harbor launches, piloting helicopters, riding bicycles, and even scuba diving underwater. But for most officers, the way to get around is in a police car. The NYPD fleet is over 9,000 vehicles strong, and selecting what police cars to buy and how best to outfit them, as well as keeping them in good working order and full of gas, falls to the Fleet Services Division. With more, here again is Jason Post.
We are joined now by Deputy Chief Joseph McGran, the Commanding Officer of the Support Services Bureau, and Director Len Lesko of the Fleet Services Division. How are the cars police officers drive different than the ones a citizen would find in a dealership?
Radio cars that are used for law enforcement are tested by the Michigan State Police and by the California Highway Patrol. They usually have a heavier suspension, heavy-duty brakes, and of course there will be some type of protective cage used to separate the prisoner from the officers in the front seat if it's a marked unit.
What would you say is the workhorse patrol car of the department?
The department basically has two workhorse vehicles. It's the Chevy Impala and the Ford Crown Victoria. The Crown Victoria is a rear-wheel drive vehicle that is basically used in the outer boroughs and the highway patrol, and the Impala is a front-wheel drive vehicle, and it's used more in the inner city. But you will find both vehicles in both places.
What other kinds of vehicles does the department buy besides a traditional patrol car?
We have over 9,000 vehicles in our fleet, including scooters, motorcycles, tow trucks, box trucks. We have all different types of vehicles that are used for specialty units, such as aviation, for harbor units. We have horse trailers, of course, for mounted. The fleet is very large and diverse.
Is the department considering buying the Dodge Charger?
We're actually very excited about Chrysler's re-entry into the law enforcement vehicle market. They have not been in the business for at least 10 years, and they decided to re-enter it with a Dodge Charger, which is a throwback to their very, very popular 70s model. The highway units that we're ordering the Charger for will have the larger 8-cylinder, what they call a Hemi engine, which is a specially designed engine to give them more power and pursuit capability, whereas the regular patrol precincts will get the smaller 6-cylinder Dodge Charger. We're ordering approximately 15 of them for the summer of 2006 to test them and see if we can infiltrate them into our fleet.
What kind of safety equipment does the department have in its vehicles?
The latest safety equipment that we're purchasing are side airbag curtains. They go from the front of the car to the rear of the car along the side. They're to protect the occupants from side impact crashes and rollovers. They work very well, and we're excited about them.
And finally, what about all the gas that it takes to get these cars going?
We have 56 sites within the department in all five boroughs. We pump approximately 8 million gallons a year, and we're presently in the process of computerizing that system throughout the city.
Director Len Lesko of the Fleet Services Division and Deputy Chief Joseph McGran of the Support Services Bureau, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Now a crime prevention tip to use while you work out. When at the gym, avoid losing your property and possibly providing your personal information to identity thieves. Never leave items such as gym bags, wallets, pocketbooks, and other valuables unattended, not even for a moment. Gym lockers are not intended to secure high-value property, so leave expensive watches, jewelry, large amounts of cash, laptop computers, or cameras at home. Ask if your gym has special lockers for valuables located in an area under constant surveillance of staff or by security cameras. Bring a good quality keyed or combination lock without serial numbers to secure the locker. Immediately report stolen property to gym staff and the police. A delay in reporting a crime could harm the police investigation. We close with a word on joining New York's finest. The NYPD offers a job with a future, a great place to serve, and a chance to advance. For more information, call 212-RECRUIT or visit us on the web, www.nypdrecruit.com. Thank you for listening to the New York City Police Department podcast. For Inside the NYPD, I'm Jesse Peterman.